Jesus Christ is risen today.
Days in our calendar, and it's brilliant that you're able to be here and to join us. And if you're online too, it's great to have you with us. What a fabulous morning. There were a few of us on the beach legally at dawn this morning. I can see a few faces here. If you fall asleep, I'll understand why. But no, it's really wonderful to be able to see the sunrise, and of course, as it was happening, it just reminds you the sun has risen. Isn't that fantastic? And we're going to be obviously celebrating and thinking about that throughout the whole of our service today. And so obviously there are a few things which I do need to remind you about. You must stay with your mask on. I'm sorry. You must stay socially distanced as well. You can socialise in groups up to six outside afterwards, but not inside. It's the way it is. Also, just want to also remind you that the toilets and everything are there, but can you make sure you sanitise in between and whatever? That would be fantastic. Okay, just a few other little things, and then we'll pray. It's our monthly prayer meeting this week. And a Zoom, that's by Zoom, at 7 o'clock. And an email will come out to you if you want to be a part of that. If you're not usually on that and you'd like to join in that prayer, leave a message in the comments or register it at the reception desk as you go out, and we'll make sure you get that email. And, of course, we can have coffee. You could actually have chocolate, too, with your coffee a bit later. But not here, I'm afraid. You're going to have to pop home and come on the Zoom. And again, if you'd like to be a part of that and you haven't got the code for that, then just register that with us and we'll make sure it happens. Okay, let's pray, shall we? Oh, Lord, what a wonderful day. Thank you, firstly, for the sunshine, the physical sunshine. But, Lord, we want to thank you beyond that, that you are a risen Saviour this day. And Lord, because of that, we can celebrate so many things. And as we consider those things, even this day, Lord, thrill our hearts, release worship from us. Lord, even amongst the restrictions and not being able to sing, Lord, may our hearts sing with you. May we soar in the Spirit, Lord, with you, as we celebrate the new life which Jesus has brought us. So God, we give you this time. May we just enjoy the opportunity of focusing upon you. May you be the focus of everything which we are and everything which we've done. We're here for you, Lord. So we give you this time. We pray that you'd speak to us, you'd stir us, but that, God, you would be here with us. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to have a mix of different content this morning. And some video, some obviously live, most of it live, in fact. But if you were all with us or you watched our Good Friday reflection, you'd have seen part one of a very moving visualization of the Easter story by a guy we've become fairly familiar here, a guy called Dive Ulrich. And he's doing it from Peter's perspective. And he's here. He's going to do a part two now. So be prepared to be stirred again. Thank you. If we can have the main light stand as well. That's it.
£3 at the door. Our hearts pounding out of our chest. They found our hiding spot. Get down! Shut up! We wait for the inevitable. Nothing. False alarm. £3 at the door. Let me in quick, she said. We opened the door and bolted back shut. Mary, what are you doing? You're trying to get us killed, we said. He's gone, she said. What do you mean he's gone? I didn't stick around for the answer. I took the bolt off the door and I just bolted. Sprint into the tomb with a million thoughts sprinting through my head. John flies past and beats me there. I catch up. And John's just standing there, gobsmacked. The stone was rolled over. I stoop into the place where Jesus' lifeless body lay just hours before. And now it's empty. By the clothes he was buried in, folded up tidy. It was empty. We look at each other, speechless. I mean, could it? Has he done the impossible? The R word, we couldn't even bring ourselves to say it. Or we just being played, I thought. Some kind of sick joke, some trap set by the Romans, rabbis, Pilate, take your pick. We didn't hang around long enough to find out. We legged it back to the hiding spot. The others opened the door and bolted it back shut. And that's just before it happened. You know, the first time. Should have seen our faces. I jumped out of my skin. We told Thomas he wasn't buying it. Till a week later, it happened again. Should have seen his face. You'd think we'd known better a third time, right? After things settled down, we go back home to Galilee. So we're down Tiberias Sea, right? There's me, Nate, Tom, James, John, the Zebedee boys. It's pitch black. We're 100 yards out, fishermen right in our sweet spot, trying to make a catch, feigning abysmally. Anyway, day's breaking and this randomer is wandering the shore. Any luck, boys, he said. Not a single sardine, we said. Try the other side of the boat, he said. So we cast our nets the other side of the boat, and what do you know? So many fish, not even math attacks could count them. It's him, said John. Well, what are we doing, faffing about with all this fish, I thought. I dive straight in, splash, head down, swim to shore. I get there, and he's lit up this barbie. How'd you get on with the catch? Any joy, he said. Bring him over here, plenty of room, he said. I look round and see the boys dragging out the water what must have been the biggest catch I'd ever seen. Anyone for breakfast? He said. So there we were. Stuffing our faces with fish sarnies, just staring at him. We knew it was him, but no one dared ask. After breakfast, he asked me if I loved him 3 times. Yes, Lord, I said, as it brought to mind the 3 times I flat out denied him. Look after my sheep, he said. You got it, Lord, I said. He had, you know, done the impossible, risen. One time he asked us who he said he was. You're the Christ, I said, the anointed one, the one we'd all been waiting for, the hand-picked rescuer. Still, I didn't see it coming, not the way it played out, but it was always part of the plan. He came to bear our brokenness to his breaking point, from fully perfect to fully broken to 2 days later fully fixed, so we can be forever fixed in him. Like I said, he'd done the impossible, risen, and there's no denying it. That changes everything.
Brilliant, isn't he? I love him. I think he's such a lovely way of presenting these things. And we can't give you fish sarnies, but what we can do is remind each other and ourselves that Christ is risen. Would you all please stand with me, please? You can't sing, but you can speak. All right? And we're going to say that this wonderful phrase, and we're going to say it three times. Okay? So let us declare, make this declaration, not just to each other, but to the heavenly realms as well. Okay? Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Hallelujah. Okay, please take your seats. We're going to continue on that victory theme for our worship. But just remind you, you can't sing. All right. No,
Running onto camera, that's very good to see everyone, and welcome to our Easter service. And I'm really sorry that so far no one has mentioned the most important thing about Easter, which is eggs. I can't believe it. With this, who's had Christmas? Not Christmas. Who's had Easter eggs for breakfast already? Anybody? No? A couple at the back. That's very good. Well, everyone knows that the real reason for Easter is these absolutely wonderful things here, aren't they? Chocolate. Eggs. We like coming to church and talking about Jesus, but the reason why we're so excited is that we get to open up some of these delicious chocolate eggs, and inside there's often, a delicious surprise as well, isn't there? Something plastic that lasts about 5 minutes. Oh, I wish I could share them with you, but unfortunately due to COVID, I'm not allowed to. So for the kids' lot this morning, you're just going to watch me. I've got 5 minutes to eat 6 Kinder eggs. Oh, hallelujah. It's not really all about eggs, though, is it? The eggs remind us of the stone that blocked the tomb where Jesus' body was laid. They're hollow, which remind us that they put Jesus in the ground and he was trapped by death. But sometimes, it's better actually if I open up this one, I'll show you a real egg. Because eggs also speak about new life, don't they? What comes out of eggs?
Chickens
or crocodiles, I guess. All kinds of things come out of eggs. But eggs are about new life. And new life is about Easter. Yes, he died on Good Friday. Yes, they buried him in an empty tomb. And as we've seen, when Mary went to the tomb, we found that the egg... Not the egg, the tomb was empty. There was nothing in it. Easter is so important, not because we remember someone lovely who died, not because of chocolate, not because Jesus was good, but Easter is so important for us because the ultimate surprise wasn't toys in the egg, it wasn't chocolate, it was that the tomb was empty. Someone who was supposed to be dead was alive. And that person was someone called Jesus who'd gone to the cross so that our sins, the things we do which are wrong, could be forgiven and that we could be friends with God. So whether you're having an Easter egg hunt later or having a big roast dinner or seeing friends and family, I hope you have a really wonderful day together. It's so nice that we can get together in gardens and hang out again now the restrictions are a bit better. But let's not forget that Easter is about Jesus. And we know that he is alive and our friend today. We've sung a song for the last, I don't know how many months, which reminds us that Jesus is our friend. And today is the last on our lockdown series. So it's probably the last time we'll sing it for a while. No. But we're going to be singing and hopefully you'll read these words. They're children's words, but they're so good that we are friends with God. Take it away, Adam.
Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me, how you love me? It's amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. God, I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God.
We don't do too many that fast. Anyway, right, one of the things which we want to do is just to provide different aspects to help us to reflect on the wonder of this whole time, this whole season for us as Christians. And we're going to have a reading, a video now, a reading by somebody who usually you see in a very different light. If you watch TV programs, this is a reflection by Bear Grylls. Thank you.
A message for Easter. All of us struggle, but we don't have to struggle on our own. We have a never-ending source of support and energy that can work so powerfully within us. All we need to do is depend on God's help and power for each and every task we face. That's why I try and start every day the same way. On my knees, quietly, reminding myself that I desperately need the presence of Christ with me. I ask for his forgiveness, his confidence, for his strength. I ask him to protect my family, to guard my words, my attitudes, and my actions. I ask him to take away my many fears and to give me his peace and to be with all those who are struggling. And God will never let us down. He's always there. Nothing is too impossible for him. There's nothing he can't help us through. No cave too dark or no mountain too steep. He's Lord of it all. As Jesus said, be sure of this, that I am with you, even to the ends of the earth. And this is the way of Christ. He draws us to our knees so he can draw us closer to him. He blesses us so that we can bless others. So let's together this Easter day be his ambassadors on earth. And that's our calling. Love, love, love.
Hallelujah.
is written on his heart. I know that while his head be stressed, no tongue can bid me this depart. No tongue can bid me this depart. Hallelujah, my life is found in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, for I am his and he is mine. Hallelujah, my life is found in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, for I am his and he is mine. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there, the reason enter all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. I hope the just be satisfied to look on him and pardon me. To look on him and pardon me. Hallelujah, my life is found in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, for I am his and he is mine. Hallelujah, my life is found in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, for I am his and he is mine. Hold him there.
Okay, well, as of last Monday, of course, a long-awaited lifting of lockdown began. You don't seem very happy. Okay, are we there yet? No, we're not. Okay. We are now. Okay, there you go. Start of, hopefully, a process which... we'll begin to restore life to some sort of normal, perhaps even a new normal, as everyone is calling it. Which, of course, may also include a different way of being for us all, in travel, all sorts of things. But it'll be, hopefully, no more lockdowns, yeah? We don't want lockdowns, do we? We can work with a few restrictions, perhaps, but certainly no more lockdowns. Now, this is all very relevant, as Richard's already referred to us here at EBC, because since the beginning of the year, we've been linking into the whole lockdown theme, and we've been looking at different messages of lockdown through God's people over the centuries, way before, some Old Testament, some even into the New Testament. And we try and say, okay, God, what are you wanting to teach us of being people in lockdown, being restricted, having guidelines to keep us from doing what we would like to do? But as again, Rich has stolen my thunder. Well, he hasn't really. But today is the end of lockdown, okay? It's the end of lockdown. And so that even goes for the messages from lockdown as well. They're lifting. Hallelujah, you all say. You can have too much of a good thing, aren't you? And do you know what's really interesting? I didn't realise. I suppose I could be moving in the prophetic. But when I planned this series, I hadn't got a clue that we were going into another lockdown. And also, I hadn't got a clue when it was coming to an end. But what a fantastic season, our Easter season, for it to all come to an end. I think God's in this, don't you? I hope so. Anyway, either way, the message of lockdown truly is the last one today. It's got no follow-up, like they do in the movies, you know. Messages from lockdown 2. Or the revenge of lockdown. Or even, and I think this might happen, actually, the return of lockdown. Let's hope it doesn't. But unlike the movies, the lockdown we're thinking about and talking about, which we've been focusing on already today, is the lockdown which Jesus lifted. And guess what? It is finished. It is finished. It is finished. Do you believe that? You can raise a hand and look excited, you know. Woo! Yeah. It's finished. It's all done. It's dusted. It's all over for all time. Lockdown is truly lifted. That which was darkness and restriction has been lifted. And now light has flooded in. And what's actually happened is that this lockdown has been lifted for all of us are set free from all lockdowns on all levels, for all people, for all time. And all because of all that he did. You're getting the theme now. Hallelujah. So I want to like just to remind us all of how this was all made possible. How this lockdown was truly broken. And we're going to read from Luke's version of the events following the crucifixion. And we're going to be reading from Luke 23, verse 50. And we're going to go through to Luke 24, verse 12. So, now, there was a good man, a good and righteous man called Joseph. He was a member of the Jewish High Council, but he had not agreed with the decision and the actions of the other religious leaders. He was from the town of Arimathea in Judea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. He went to Pilate, and he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took the body down from the cross and wrapped it in a long sheet of linen cloth and laid it in a new tomb that had been carved out of the rock. That was done late on Friday afternoon, the day of preparation, as the Sabbath was about to begin. As his body was taken away, the women from Galilee followed and saw the tomb where his body was placed. Then they went home and prepared spices and ointments to anoint his body. But by the time they were finished, the Sabbath had begun. So they rested as required by the law. Enter chapter 24. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of Jesus, the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day. Then they remembered that he had said this. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men. No comment. So they didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. Isn't this an amazing story? I never get bored with listening or reading this passage, do you? Never, ever. It's wonderful. He isn't here. He is risen. Yes! Yes, yes, yes! And that's what it's all about. And I don't get bored because that sort of message just thrills your heart when you know who Jesus is. And you know what he's done. It just lifts you. And whole of life gets changed and transformed. It's changed human history forever. Forever. And so what I would like us to do is to pick up on that theme of the all, if I could. All of what it means for us. All to be free, all from lockdowns, and from all lockdowns, should I say, on all levels, for all people, for all time, once and for all. So, firstly, to set us all free. All free. You know, mankind, I think, is right through history, he has had this canny knack of getting him or herself into all sorts of lockdowns, all sorts of troubles, all sorts of restrictions. And the same is still true today, isn't it just? But, you know, this is caused by some of the wrong choices which we make. Unwise decisions we take. We tie ourselves up. We become trapped. We become imprisoned in a variety of different ways. A bit like, in one sense, how we felt over the whole COVID lockdowns and restrictions. But life gets changed for the worse because we make those wrong choices. And so we get trapped, we get locked down by what actually is a con. The con of the world. And usually in partnership with the devil as well, in most cases. Because what it offers is an illusion of freedom. It says, have this, own those, get that, and try these. And it's constantly looking beyond what you've currently got. Because it's teasing you. But it's an illusion of freedom. It says, have this, get those, try these. And with them comes an enticement, a tag, a catch, actually, on a false claim that if you do, you'll get this experience, you'll be able to experience so much more. More of what you've always wanted. You know, that dream, that fantasy. It will become a reality if you have this, take those, try this. But it's a lie. It's a lie. More of what you always wanted and dreamt of. No, it's a lie. And in addition, of course, they say that you'll find purpose and freedom. Will you? Heck. You don't find freedom. It's a lie. And that lie comes from those temptations. Trying all these things. Because the lie is that they will fill the deep void that exists within every human spirit. Which we can, of course, spend a whole lifetime searching for in many cases. But it's a lie. They don't, because that void can never be satisfied with the stuff that comes from this world, the earthly things. Whether they are material or financial or even emotional or even experiential, they will never satisfy that deep down void. And in one sense, I think this last 12 months, this whole COVID thing, has highlighted that. We've all witnessed over this last year, if not experienced it personally, that true value is not found in stuff or the illusion of stuff in this world, but through having life and having relationship. Have you noticed that? It's shifted the whole of the way we look at things, hasn't it? Human relationships are significant and necessary. Humanity was made for a relationship, in fact. We're designed to be in connection, in community. We need others around us. And in fact, without some of those others, during this whole pandemic, some people would have been in even a worse place. Some wouldn't even have been here had it not been for those connections. And I think that's appropriate, isn't it, for us to say thank you to everyone who's played any part in helping the rest of us to get through this. And we're not through it yet. But you know, in addition, we've also witnessed death too. And that's really hard. Death breaks those relationships. And we've seen the desperately sad situations that have occurred when someone close is taken away. Especially when you can't say goodbye. It's horrendous. It rips the heart. And whether that's through COVID or anything else, it's not easy for anyone to lose another human being. It's painful. It hurts deeply. And yet it all goes to show for me that living and life is incredibly precious to all of us. And if you have been caught in that loss this last year, through whatever reason, I know there are a number of you sitting here, I just want to pray God's peace and God's love and his comfort on upon you all. We really do. But as we look at this, in many ways, we've had a wake-up call through this pandemic as the human race. Right across the globe and on every level of humanity and society, it's stirred us all to reassess the priorities about where our life really should be and where our values are. Facing death and even our own mortality is part of that. And when you lose lots of other things like jobs or health or freedoms which have been taken away, it challenges our whole understanding of what life on earth and human existence really is all about. Which in turn points us to think outside of ourselves and even of our earthly human limitations, beyond them. And that's where another dynamic of relationship is required that goes beyond this human earthly level. Which is where, of course, the Easter story truly engages with this world. And it provides that vital answer and that connection that meets those deep-rooted needs, that void we've been thinking about, which we all seek. Every single one of us seek it. And that's where Jesus, of course, steps in. And he wants to release us from all levels of lockdown. A plain on the word, of course. We still need to abide by the guidelines. Please hear me. I don't think it's the police to storm the building and say, "Ah, you're preaching." That's not what it's about. But those traps and those prisons that we've been thinking about take all shapes and forms. In body, in mind, and in spirit. And I would offer that only God, through Jesus, can bring ultimate release from these lockdowns, from these trappings. Only he can bring true healing and satisfy that deep-rooted void we've talked about. Being in relationship with God through Jesus is what will tick all the boxes within us, because he knows and he understands us, as well, of course, knowing the limitations and the lockdowns of a broken world. He experienced them, did he not? Firsthand. And so he knows exactly what we need. He knows exactly how to release us too. And much of that which locks us down has its roots in that what God calls sin. Sin, our choice to go against God's best and God's chosen path for life. All those lies and temptations and wrong choices, which we've spoken about earlier, are just as an expression of selfish searching, causing that which actually it becomes a blockage between us and God in the long term. And in fact, only then Jesus can set us free from it. Only he can then remove it. And he not only removes it, but then he changes us from the inside out. Those basic desires which stirred us to make the wrong choices in the first place. He changes it all. And it's deep-rooted. He gives us a fresh start. He replaces that which the enemy has stolen. And we become a new creation in Christ. He removes that selfish and rebellious heart and fulfills and satisfies those deepest longings and those needs. And it doesn't matter what we've done or how bad we've been in our eyes or even in the world's eyes. Jesus can and he will forgive. He will cleanse. He will change us. Because Jesus himself said, nothing is impossible for God. You know, we don't believe that. We do not believe it. We think about it, but we don't believe it. Nothing is impossible for him. And that forgiveness is also for those around us too. People who perhaps we've hurt because of the sin in us, and also the hurts which we've received because of the sin in them. And what God does, he takes it all, and he can forgive, and he can release, and he brings the healing we all so want and so need. That is good news, is it not? That is good news. Jesus can heal and restore it all. And the result of all that Jesus went through, that first Easter, frees us and heals us. But surely this is only for a select few, isn't it? You know, the special people, those who are really good. No, it's for all of us. The good news of this story is for all people. Just have a quick look around. I tell you, there's not one person the same in this building. We're all unique. And guess what? We're all under this same grace of God. There is no selected group of people. It's for everyone. No matter our age or our background or our ethnicity or our social class or our status or the value the world will put upon us. God has opened up these prison doors for every single one of us to be able to be released from lockdown and walk out from them into freedom. Just as the COVID vaccine is helping us free us from the virus, the vaccination of God is through the cross of Jesus Christ. And it will release. It's actually even more effective. And even though other people and even the enemy himself may lie to you and say, actually, you're not good enough. You can't go to church. You're not brilliant. You're not clever enough. You're not nice enough person. It's a lie. Another one. And those who go to church actually are no better. I do know quite a number of you. And you know me. You know, we've all fallen very short. We're all, as far as God's concerned, way below his best. Look, where we shouldn't be able to, we cannot do what we would like to do. But God, in his grace, meets with us. So you are good enough. I'm good enough. We're all good enough as far as God's concerned. That's what Jesus did. He's chose you. You know you're chosen. You're not a mistake. That means he chose you. And if it had only been you on the face of this planet, he would have still come. Do you know that? He would have still come. God's chosen you. Some of us might be on the journey, have been on that journey a number more years than perhaps some younger people. Well, yeah, that's natural. But it doesn't mean say we've got it all sussed. It just means that we're a little bit further down the road. But we're all on that journey. And God says, you know, if I be lifted up from the earth, which we remembered on Good Friday, he said, I will draw all people all people to myself. No limitations. And then finally, that which was won on that first Easter is for all time. Once and for all. Once and for all. Interesting phrase. Parents use it a lot. Once and for all, no more. We use it. It's the end of the road, isn't it? It's one of those sort of, this is the absolute final. That's it. You're not going to do it. We've got a little dog in our house at the moment, our daughter. No. Down. No. Constantly. No. 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 It's the end of the road, but I tell you, she still jumps up. Anyway, but it's that declaration, isn't it, of completeness, of finality. It's permanent, it's conclusive, it's definite, it's irrevocable, and it's absolute. Once and for all. Jesus, once and for all, lifted the lockdowns that have kept us and are keeping mankind trapped and as prisoners. And he proclaimed in that synagogue on that at the beginning of his ministry when he came out of the wilderness. He said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, and that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Is that not a declaration of lockdown being lifted? All lockdowns, no matter what shape or size it is. And then he followed it up with some amazing words, which John records, which affirm the permanency, I believe, of God's promise for all the old time, by stating, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone, all who believes in him, shall not perish, but have eternal life. Eternity, everlasting life. Now, eternity is really hard for us as a concept to get our heads around, to grasp. Because we live and then we exist within a finite world. It's got the limitations to it. So to think about something being eternal is really quite hard for us. Yet in Christ we are freed from that restriction and the earthly time limitations and the lockdowns of mistakes and failures. No, it goes beyond. It's much more than just this. There are consequences for sin, but they finish. When we leave this planet, they go on and we remain free. And as Jesus taught us, what he wants is his kingdom to come here on earth as it is in heaven. Now that is about saying, hey, I want to start this eternity now. Now humanly speaking, you might say, whoa, hang on, Mark. I'm not sure I can handle that. Life here on earth, you know, 70 years or 20, whatever age you are. You know, that's tiring enough in such a broken world. And for my aging body, you know, the aches, the pains, the groans, and oh my goodness, not again. You know, and we get up and we think about that and we think, eternity? Like this? You're kidding. Yeah, I am. Because that's not what it's about. But it's an eternity of the Spirit. It's an eternity of the life of God, which gets released within us. And therefore will relieve us into a whole infinite position from what is a finite one. God is the very source of life and existence. And the thought of spending eternity with him actually is pretty appealing when you get to know him. Would you agree? A number of you here know God? Yeah. And eternity in his presence and in worship and in freedom and having everlasting peace. And no aches and pains and, hey, is that not appealing? What? And God in Jesus has said, this is it. This is the celebration. This is why you can celebrate on a day like today. God has provided through Jesus the most powerful and the only escape route from all human lockdowns forever. All of us. Forever. Hallelujah. But the question is, and there might be some who are listening, are we truly free? Do we really know this one who can bring that release? I really would challenge you, if that is where you're at, to have another second look at Jesus. Because he is the one, he's the only one who can bring us that freedom. Let's pray, shall we? Lord God, thank you that through Jesus you've given us all the opportunity to find a release and a peace and a freedom from lockdown. The lockdown of sin, the lockdown of disobedience. And that, Lord, you want to set us free from the physical restrictions which this broken world can so easily bring upon us. Yes, Lord, we're still in the world, but we needn't be of it. And I pray that, Lord, you would help us to live in the victory and in the promise of eternity. And that, Lord, you would help us to trust you in all these things. And that, Lord, we would live with that true freedom. And that we'd know that life of God from within each every situation we face and in every decision we make. Lord, may it be to live for you. May you control and take every part of us. Our Lord, our King, and our Master, we surrender our lives to you afresh this Easter day. And we thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to turn towards communion. And I forgot to mention it earlier in my announcements, but if you are at home, if you want to go and grab a drink or a cracker or a piece of bread, then that's great. That would be good. Then you can join with us in our celebration of all that Christ did. And of course, he did this just before he went to the cross. He reminded his disciples what was going on. He used the festival of Passover. And he said, this is it. This is a sign. These are signs. I started, my first point was that it's for all people. Everybody. So this invitation, which I'm going to read to you now, is for all of you. If you know and love Christ, you can come. Come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and he gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ. For we are his body. Let's just take a moment before we share in the prayer of confession together. So let's just offer to God all those things where we've made those wrong choices. We've taken those wrong decisions. Let's offer them all to God. Let's come. Kneel at the foot of the cross. So now let's pray this prayer of confession together. The words are on the screen. Heavenly Father, I confess my sins to you, the sins of the past and of the present, those hidden and forgotten, as well as those remembered, my sins of thought and desire, of word, of deed, and of omission. The sins that I am too dull of heart to see. The sins that others can see and I cannot. The sins known to you alone. I'm sorry for all of them. I ask you to forgive me through the merit of Jesus, my Saviour. Please renew your life in me by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We're going to reflect as we sing the wonderful song, I Cast My Mind to Calvary. Let's just take this moment just to be in God's presence.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus died and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone.
We want to say thank you so much. Thank you for the immensity of your sacrifice for us. Lord, we'd never be able to say thank you enough. But Lord, we know how significant and powerful is that freedom you've brought to us, of that release, of the expression of love. Lord, of the cleansing, the fresh start, the new opportunities which you give us. Lord, thank you. And Lord, as we come to take very simple emblems, very earthly things, Lord, help us to be grateful for them, because they remind us of you and all that you did. Thank you for the bread. Thank you that you gave of your very life that we might be forgiven and cleansed. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to take your bread, your cracker, whatever it is you've brought, you just want to break it and remember that's representative of Christ's body. And then let's eat with grateful hearts for all that Christ has done for us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you want to take your juice and your wine, let's remember Christ said, "This is my blood poured out for you." Poured out willingly, freely, to bring us the cleansing which we need. So Lord, thank you for the symbolism again of this, your blood, which cleanses us and releases us and is a promise, is a guarantee of all that you've done for us, even into eternity. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We're so grateful. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's drink with grateful hearts. And so, Lord, we want to thank you that this is a finite celebration which we are going to be carrying on only for the days while we're here on earth, because, Lord, we have eternity to look forward to. And we do this until you either return or you call us home, and then we're with you forever. Thank you, Lord. And I pray that the reality of this Easter day will remain with us forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to draw our service towards a close, singing our final song, which takes us back to you at the same age as me, about 400 years old. You'll remember a guy called Graham Kendrick, and he wrote this wonderful, wonderful song, "Led Like a Lamb to the Slaughter." If you want to stand, you're more than welcome to do that, but you can't. As we go out into this week, as we have that little bit more space, let's remember the spiritual lockdowns which Jesus has won for us and released us from. Hallelujah. So we're going to draw our service to a close. We're all here, so we can all say the grace together. Many of us know these words. If you don't know them, just receive them. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for watching. God bless. Okay, I just need to remind you. Sorry, the broadcast is finished now. So, and that is that we will.